As always, we spend time with a fascinating individual in our profile interview. This week, we speak to legendary music producer, communications expert, and lecturer of world languages and cultures at Howard University, who has kindly woken up for us in a different time zone to have this conversation. Dr. Sipho Sithole is our profile guest for today, and he will join us to speak about the work he has done shaping the South African music scene and what he is up to currently. And if you'd like to join our conversation, you can call us on 011-883-0702. We're also then going to get into our acts of kindness conversation, looking at artworks that are going to be auctioned as part of a fundraiser for Vusi Biyokamp. We'll speak to Zanele Khumalo, who's coordinator of the Kalashnikov Gallery Aspire, and David Kroot about that. And in the final hour, we'll respond to a listener question that we received via email for Dr. Kosi Giane, understanding borderline personality disorder and ADHD and how it affects your relationships. And then in music, we celebrate Ntate Ray Phiri. It would have been his 77th birthday last week. South African guitarist who had an immense impact on the music scene. And we'll speak to a local musician, jazz composer and guitarist and author Billy Monama will speak to us about the impact of Ubabu Ray Phiri. And then, of course, we'll play some music because it is the Music Corner and it will be just before we make way for Soulful Sunday. So that's all coming up over the next 2 hours. And there is no better way to start this next conversation than with a South African classic. Here is Thandiswa Mazwai. It's 13 minutes after 8 o'clock. It's Thandiswa Mazwai with the title track from her album called Zabalaza. Zabalaza, which recently turned 20 years old, which got me thinking about the impact of this album, the people who made it possible. And in celebrating or marking the anniversary of this album, she said she was grateful in her tweet. She said, "Forever grateful to Sipho Sithole, my producer for Zabalaza. It was his faith in my ability to make something important and his vision that made this work what it became." And so we're thrilled this morning to be joined by legendary music producer, communications expert, lecturer of world languages and cultures at Howard University. Dr. Sipho Sithole joins us on the line. Dr. Sithole, a very good morning to you.
Ntiyane, mwelase mnguni, niyaphila.
Siyaphila jobe ninjani?
Ah, siyaphila. Ngiyezwa nje nikhuluma ngami lapho ku background. Ngilalele
But we were
sathi hayibo. Njoba ningihleba nje ngiyanizwa nje.
But we weren't saying anything disrespectful. We would never. We would never. Thank you so much for joining us. Also, because I know it's very early for you. We are in different time zones.
Yes, no, it is. But fortunately for me, this is really around about the time that I sleep. So I'm a night owl. I don't want to wake up.
Really?
And also, I normally sleep around 1:30. So
okay.
What is an extra hour?
Okay,
really?
But thank you so much. We appreciate it. And it's so great to have you on the show. So just listening to Zabalaza, which is 20 years old now, if it were a person, it's been able to vote for about 2 years now. Did you imagine that this album, when you were working on it, would become what it's become? Because I do think it's become a bit of a seminal work. Even Thandiswa herself said it was the album Eyamenza Umuntu. And at the time, I guess hindsight is 2020 vision, did you imagine that it would become what it has become?
Not at all, actually. And the interesting thing is that you play the very first song that I composed for the album.
Really?
This was Zabalaza, the first song that I did. And I was not even supposed to have been the producer of the album.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Mina, I had in my head or the sound that I thought was Thandiswa's sound, which was not what she was doing, we bong my film. And what had happened was I had gone to see her show at the Market Theater. It was a one-person show, one-woman show, where she was just singing what she termed the greatest South African songbook.
Mm-hmm.
She was singing from Fuma Sikela to Miriam Makeba and so forth. And then I go back. At that time, I was just transitioning from Jonic, which is now called Arena, which owned Gallo, New Metro Cinemas, and as well as Exclusive Books. And I was at Jonic as head of strategy. And by the way, I'm not a communications expert. I'm a corporate strategist more than a communications person.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I was head of strategy at Jonic, and they were moving me to Gallo as deputy MD. And it just so happened that during that transitional period, I went to Market Theatre and I saw Utanisa. Then I went to Gallo and said, there's a Utanisa that you don't know. Not the one that is at Bongo Muffin, but the one that I had at the Market Theatre.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we can make some great music. I don't know what the music is going to be, but I think let's make her an offer. Please make her an offer. I know she's signed to Kalawa as Bongo Muffin, but let's make her an offer. So we make her an offer, and Tandiswa being Tandiswa, took time to respond to this offer. Until I said to Gallo, please write her another letter and say she has 14 days to respond, otherwise the deal is off.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know whether Tandiswa was even thinking of going solo at that time. And I also don't know why she didn't tell us to just, you know, get lost. So after that, she then was signing. I don't remember which happened first, but I then went to Kalawa, where I met Bruce and Mandla Speaker in Oskido. I said, I need your authorization that we sign Utanisa. So here is the rule, Cooks. If you are signed in a record label, you are signed collectively and individually. That is just the rule.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't be signed in a group in another record label and then go and do a solo album in another record label, because it automatically then binds you as one contract.
Okay.
So it was important for me to ask Ikalawa to give us a clearance that we would sign Utanisa as a solo artist and that she would remain at Kalawa as part of the group. And in exchange for that, they will get what is called a royalty override.
Had that so been done before, Dr. Sithole, where someone could, as a group, belong to one label and as a solo artist belong to another? Did we have that kind of thing being done in the South African context?
I don't know of any at that time. Mm-hmm. And Naomi Futa was also new in the music industry. I had no knowledge of the music industry. All I knew was what was in my head, what sound I wanted. So that, in the context of, in the process of me approaching Utanisa, so that came into the discussion to say, but you're going to have to seek clearance from Kalawa because she signed there individually and collectively. And by the way, we tried to do, I'll come back to that quickly. We tried to sign Malaika on the same thing. And then it just so happened that there was one member who was signed to BMG or Sony in another group, and they would not allow Malaika to come to Gallo. That's why they ended up at Sony, because that other person was already tied in another group. I don't remember what it was called.
Mm-hmm.
So we then, in exchange for what is called a royalty override, it means for the number of albums that are signed by Gallo of Tandiswa, as long as they are selling, Ikala will get a percentage of those, which I cannot disclose, of the sales of the album. So then it happened. Then we now had this artist. So I start saying to her, you know, Tandiswa, I think we can have some great music. The problem yet that we had, Cooks, we did not have a reference of what kind of sound we were looking for. But the only sound that they knew or the voice that they knew of Tandiswa was the one of Bongo Muffin.
Mm-hmm.
I then say to her, we need to find producers that are going to produce our album. But because we don't know what the reference is going to be, let me try and do one or two songs that you could then say, here are the songs, this is how she sounds. Now produce the album. Then in Kaleng is a balance. And I remember again telling Dabazamu Tandi, so because I called her when the song came. I was driving to Umkhosi Womhlanga. Then I had this song in my head. So I'm phoning it, hey, I've got a song for you. I've got a song. I sing it. Zabalaza, Zabalaza, Zabalaza. She says, you're not going to tell me what to sing. You know? I was like, okay, it's fine. It's fine. I won't tell you what to sing. Then I go and put the music. I record the music. As you can see, it starts with a bass line.
Mm-hmm.
Because I compose with the bass line first. Then I went and got to Khumulo Sithole, the wife of the late Jabu Khanyile, and then Kanyoma Phumulo, to do the chorus. So when she heard the music just with a chorus, with no verse, I give it to her. So if you know Tanisha, so Tanisha doesn't get excited with something that she likes. She will just say, it's okay. Just like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's only when she doesn't like something that you're going to hear her, that, oh, it's okay. No, it's okay. So she takes it for quite some time. Then I work on another song. I work on Undilinde.
Mm-hmm.
So I in a corner lapo, I put music, then I sing this humming. And then I give it to her, and then we do another one. Then we do in Nizalwa Ngubani. Now is in Nizalwa Ngubani has got a history to it. Because when I was still studying through UNISA in the 80s, I would go to Mabankulele Mlas. I would go to BP Center where there was a library, and then I would borrow some music. And I had this cassette that I had borrowed from the library, which I took with me when I went abroad to study in 1989. I kept this cassette until I came back with it in 1993. And in that cassette, it was an Eastern Cape folk singer, I think Mampondweni, and the song went like, Nizikibili zindabe gauteng umama, umama. Ewethi nikibili zindabe gauteng ubaba. Ngamnika ngathi Thandisa, listen to this song. And then what we turned, and then we went and put music on it.
Mm-hmm.
Then she did. So on the third, on the fourth song, which was Indilinde, the one that is called Tutsepo Tsula eventually, she then says to me, we don't need producers. I think we can do this. It, are you serious? I said, no, I think let's just go to studio. Let's just make music. So that is how we started. We had sent out the feelers all over the world, to the U.S., we even sent it to Incognito, Ublui of Incognito. Ublui came to South Africa and listened to the pre-production. And he says to me, I can't touch your music. Maybe I can play around with Transkei Moon. I can play around with Transkei Moon. I will take it to England with me. But your stuff that you've done, I think it's deep. It's spiritual. I cannot mess up with it, you know. There was a song Undia Hamba that she has written in the jazz album, and other songs. But before we recorded, I said to her, "You are a township kid. You need to go to the village. You need to get lost in the village, and go stay with Matosin." I don't even remember whether that was my idea. Maybe let me not claim something. It just so happened around that time that maybe it's good that you go and stay with Matosini Mkanduli and she went there. I think she stayed there for 2 weeks. I remember when she came back, I met her at the airport. She was completely dazed. She arrived at the arrivals hall. You could hear what she had songs in her head. She was just singing and singing. And I'm here. And then I fetched her. And then she went home. That's when we started the recording. At that time, Tanzo was hearing all this music in her head now. She had been home, Emkanduli, she had met Umatosini, she had Sala no mama la pana be kita be krensa benza yonkinto. So it was easy to then create this sound that we create. Yes.
Have a name? I was, you know, reading something, and you're often credited as coining or popularizing Afro Soul. Was it Afro Soul then?
So what happened was, this is now December 2004, I think, around that time. Sekhaya ke manje emsinga emaphandleni. I get a call from Maria McCloy. Uthi Maria McCloy to me, you know, Mrs. Thole, you've signed Thandiswa, you've signed Simphiwe Tana, you've signed Ray, Nana Makakula from Swaziland. There's this sound that I'm hearing. What is this sound? And just in the off the cuff, I said, it's Afro Soul. And then she says to me, what is Afro Soul? It means, well, it's a mixture of the Philly Soul sounds about Jill Scott and Afro Jazz. Remember at that time, Afro Jazz was big in this country. There was no Afro Soul.
Mm-hmm.
It was about Ulysses Puma, Clora Bosman, lady from Mamelodi. So it was Afro Jazz. We are blending the two sounds, but the overriding instrument there is the Rhodes. So there is a Rhodes piano on it, which is my chords are corner where Wezwa, which it's going to that side. So I'm calling it Afro Soul.
Mm-hmm.
Then she wrote an article. Utus Tole is signing an artist for Afro Soul. Then Afro Soul then became the Afro Soul that it is today. And it was interesting because people don't even know. I mean, I can't even play any instrument. I can't read music. I don't know whether the song is in C major or D flat. I just sing what I'm hearing. But even the compositions, I would sing in a studio and let my musicians to play to say, this is what I'm hearing. But in what key? I don't know what key.
The one I just sang in.
Look, what I've just sang, just play it.
Yeah.
But no, but he called progression. Make it work. If it's a 4-4, whatever, just make it work. I mean, I know the way I'm singing it, it has to work. Otherwise, I would not have sung it this way if it doesn't work. You guys are technical. The sound. And this is how I've composed. That is how I've produced. And luckily, the musicians I've worked with and the engineers that I've worked with, they've quickly were able to understand. Magang has only one thing. They are able to enhance it, but they know exactly what I'm trying to say, you know. So I can sing a guitar line, a bass line. I can sing ama strings, a piano. Mm. The one thing that I'm really not good at is the drums. But I don't know how to count, you know. So they are able to patch it together by and seven again, you know. But something is good, but no, but I say it with time. It is, if I get with time.
Yes.
And then it becomes what it is, yeah.
Because that was going to be my question. Certainly, just in terms of academic training, when you look at, you know, what you studied, none of it seems to be musical. Your doctorate is in anthropology. You did political science and international relations. Your master's is in IR and personnel management. And so I was trying to figure out how seemingly an academic and someone who did seemingly no arts ended up being one of the most prolific music producers in the country. And also then you saying that you don't play an instrument, but the music is in your head, it exists. And I mean, we have evidence of it. We have Zabalaza, we have Zandisile, it's there.
Mm.
So how do you end up in music, even though I guess there was, I guess, no formal training or no formal introduction to it?
Ngikaba, siqale lapho, ngikaba elikhulele lokushini also with the village roots. So I've had music in my head growing up, but yeah, more specifically, thina sikhule ngesikhathi when jazz was big. So eThekwini, Emlaz, where I grew up, we listened to jazz. You can talk to me about any artist at that time. We listened to jazz. We used to buy music through postal order. Sithenga eKohini here. I mean, I'm saying here, I'm in Washington, D.C. In Joburg, a commissioner in Market Street, which was a Kohino record shop. They would send us a catalog all over the country. You would know what are the new albums that have come out of America in jazz or whatever. And then you would just tick and tick, go to a post office, buy a postal order, put it in the envelope, and then you send it to Johannesburg. But let me tell you, folks, the day when you go to Entokozweni post office Emlazi to go collect your stuff, as I would walk down section Emlazi ngiphethe ama vinyls ami, you knew ukuthi someone has just gotten a new stock that has just arrived. Whether it was Jimmy Smith, Aretha Franklin, Sonny Stitt, whatever, Gene Ammons. So the music, I grew up listening to this sound. So my vocabulary of music is vast. Reggae, mpakanga, maskandi, jazz in the main, soul, America. So when all of these things collided, it created a sound for me that I knew what this was the sound, what was going to happen. But here's what was interesting at that time. So we now have Thandiswa, we have Simpiwe, but when I played the pre-production of Thandiswa's album, I'm now at Garland, I'm the deputy MD, and I'm playing it for the group MD, Charles Kuhn. Charles would give, I thought we are going to do Afropop. I'm like, I don't do Afropop. I don't like Afropop. At that time, my figure was big, you know, Malaika and all of that were like, but no, I said to them, we are doing timeless music because I cannot sign an artist that every 12 months we must come up with a new album because they are popping, you know. We need to sign artists that will stand the test of time, like Miriam Makeba, Leta Mbulu, Dorothy Masuka, and so forth. I said, that is the kind of sound I am looking for. And can you believe that your question, you're asking me, did I ever think this was going to happen? I was just dreaming it and imagining it, but I didn't know that was going to be the sound. And yeah, these two artists, there was Simpiwe Ngapha, there was Thandiswa Ngapha, all at the same time. Ega Simpiwe will talk about it at some point in the episode. It was another interesting one. But what people don't even know is that when I was now supposed to, as a producer, to sign the agreement to get producer royalties, I refused. This is now before we release the album. Charles Kuhn, my boss, says, no, but why are you refusing? What about you, the producer of the album? And then makes an example, to Mariah Carey, the president of that record company, I don't remember what was his name, was married to the president of the record label and is the producer also, and is getting royalties. Lindelani Mkhize is the producer, and so on, is getting royalties. Then I said, no, I mean, I cannot do that for one reason. Igalo has got an active roster of 57 artists. At that time, Besinabo Phuze Khemisi, Bhekumuzi Luthuli, Jabu Khanyile, Lucky Dube, Ladysmith Black Mambazo, Mahotela Queens, you name it. Yet if this artist that we've signed does so well and sells and makes money, I'm going to be accused. Which the reason why the artist is doing so well as compared to the rest of the other artists is because I've got a financial interest in it. It's better for me not to get any producer royalties. Well, producer royalties are linked to the album sales. Mm. I said, the only thing that I'm not going to give away is my compositions. Because compositions, you must protect it.
Yes.
If you write a song and tomorrow Coca-Cola takes this song for a sync deal that is going to be running on 702 adverts forever, that's where the money is. The money is in compositions, not in in sales.
Yeah.
But that was not the reason why I was reasoning. But I was just saying, I can't give away my composition. That is generational wealth, you know.
Yeah. We just
So I
need
care
to
to them.
Pause there, Dr. Stella, because we do need to go to sport. And I do want to hear a little bit more about this. If you've just joined us, we are spending time with our profile guest for this morning, legendary music producer, record owner, lecturer of world languages and cultures at Howard University. Dr. Sipho Sithole joins us this morning. And we take your calls on 011-883-0702, your SMSs on 31702, and your WhatsApps on 0727021702.
Now. It's back to Cooks Mshungu on 702.
It's 18 minutes before 9 o'clock. You are still on your 702 Weekend Breakfast, the Easter Sunday edition of the show. And if you've just joined us, we are joined by our profile guest today, executive music producer, lecturer at Howard University, music exec, Dr. Sipho Sithole, joining us on the line this morning. And Dr. Sithole, just before the break, you were talking to us about how for you, it was quite crucial to not let go of your producer royalties, because you said those are more valuable than your other royalties,
composition.
Your composition royalties.
Composition. By the way, workbooks.
Yes.
I am at Howard University in Washington, D.C., in the United States of America.
Yes. Which is you returning to the U.S. You're not just anywhere, you're teaching.
Not just Howard, Emily. Remember, Pella, in Natal University, which is now called UKZN, it used to be known as Howard College.
Aha. I didn't know that.
Yeah, it used to be known as Howard.
Okay, just to clarify, lecturer of world languages and cultures at Howard University in Washington, D.C., which is in the United States of America.
Yes, thank you.
But this
is just a so. Just by the way, I remembered who Mariah Carey's husband. It was Tommy Mottola, who was head of Columbia Records.
Yes.
Yeah, but anyway, no. The issue about compositions is very important. It's even important in this context of this discussion because you hear even in the public space people fighting over songs. It's very important that if you have written something, that there is an agreement before you even leave the studio, which I composed, and you did this. Luckily for me, on Taniswa's albums, the music I composed, so she would already get the music from me, and maybe with a hook line, a chorus. And then she would write the verses. She's brilliant, you know. When it comes to verses, sometimes it will take 3 months. But by the time in the studio, you like, thank you. So compositions are important because that really is your lifeline. It means, first of all, your music is protected anywhere else in the world. It cannot be used by anybody unless it has been cleared by the publisher who represents you, you know. And if you are really lucky, one song can set you up. You know, it could happen. We do now and again get a request for Inizala Ngoba, and for some reason that song, they like it, you know.
Yeah.
It could happen that one day we'll just get a request for a song of $2 million, and that will be it, you know. So, and I always tell Abom Rapper, ngoba Abom Rapper, they like with my best studio. They are playing around. That day, out in Tropi 16 lap. Uzwa I beat him now, and that Tropi 16 on someone else's song. They've just composed those 16 beats, bars that you, 16 bars, the 16 bars, those are lyrics, those are words that you have composed.
Yes.
And until such time that there's a big deal, a BMW, then so we always tell artists to please make sure that there's an agreement, you go and notify SAMRO. And a capasso, if you have written something, don't just there are no friends in composition schools.
Mm.
No friends.
Yes, even if you were friends at the time of, I'm saying, even if you were friends at the time of, you know, the making, and because often there is, you know, camaraderie, friendship.
Nope, No friends, not even your, you can't give your cousin a song. I don't claim anything, never. It's very important. Oh, but that's where the money is. Let me use an example. The biggest song I ever did was for Unat. And that song, I wrote the music, I sang the words from beginning to end, including chorus and bridges and intro. Ngamnika, ngathi go rehearse the song. She rehearsed it for about 3-4 months or something, and she came, she sang her heart out, which really what gave respect to what Unat does. But it doesn't matter how many times that song can be played on radio. 100% royalties, music and words come to me. Yeah, now if she sold hundreds or thousands of that song, that's where she would make the money.
Mm-hmm.
As Ilokhuza. For instance, Uzonke, ingoma ka ecula uWinnie Khumalo. I just wanna live my life la di da tena la 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 ni hey ma. That's Zonke. Even the style we can hear with Zonke. That is Zonke's composition.
Mm-hmm.
It can be played over and over on 702. Isamro will collect and it will pay to the composer.
So when that others song can... was everywhere, because there was a time that song was massive. It was all over TV and radio. That was Zonke's composition.
You can collect millions from Samro if you've got a hit. Yabona I Paris.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yeah. Isamro pays 18 months after the song is introduced to radio. Udlala Tugzin, Bandlala Tugzin, I plan. Those people are going to be swimming in money when Samro pays 18 months' time.
But composition. The composers, though, are going to be swimming in money.
Airplay.
Yeah.
It's airplay. You can make money from streaming, or say, streaming manje and whatever, in terms of sales, it's fine. But imali is on airplay. An artist can collect 10 million in one Samro payout. But it can also collect 27 rand if the song was played once or twice.
Sure. We have a question. Yeah. Lulama in Winchester Hills has a question for you. Lulama, a very good morning to you.
Good morning, Dokotela Khaya Sithole.
Siyaphila, siyaphila, Lulama njani?
Siyaphila. So, Doc, just to say thank you for the phenomenal soul. Music, as you coined your music episode. Just a quick one. I'm just interested in the correlation and the fine line between not you composing music from not knowing like music sheets and you know the formal, having not had this formal study of music and notes to being able to define the genre, you know, at a drop of a hat, you know, being asked, which, okay, what music, you know, that different sound. So I just want to understand, because I work with a duo that's just been currently released some music, Isowe Tunes, and we were actually working on exactly defining the music that the two great gentlemen are working on. And you saying, initially you did not understand, you know, you just tell people, just fit what I'm singing to the music sheet. So what's that? So it's like genres versus music sheets versus the soulful music that you're producing. What is in the soulful, African soul music that it's a genre? I don't know if I'm making sense. It's quite there's nuances within my question.
No, you are making sense because I can even further extend this discussion to say, then here is that Tandiswa and Simpiwe, doing Afro Soul. But Tamagwini doesn't do Afro Soul. Because Tamagwini does ethno soul, and that's me again. It's more ethnic than soulful. Because the thing is that Tandiswa has got a jazz voice, jazz influence in terms of, she can play around with her voice. So she can make her her voice sound very soulful and yes, and yet African at the same time. Whereas Tamagwini ucula ubukhaya. Then you are saying, okay, this is not Afro soul anymore. It's more ethno soul. Sheet music is basically what has been written and scored down that you play from. You play it from it as it is written because it's on the sheet. You know, I can't even, because I'm not that more technical on that, but I can tell you, you would know what sound it is. There is a group now. And this Bhaca is very different from isiZulu. And they've termed it Bhaca soul. And they are correct to say that. Because we can even locate it in a region where it comes from. Utailo music, uphuma emzimkhulu ngendlela abacula ngakhona. In a Bhaca. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you so much. You've so aptly described it and explained it for me.
No problem. Thanks, Lulama.
Thank you, Lulama. Doctor, before we run out of time, just a few messages, because I feel like we just started the interview, but it's almost an hour in and we're almost out of time. But I wanted to share some of the messages you've received. Makobo Ndlovu says you have a legend there on 31702. Dr. Philemon Mahuna says good morning. Dr. Sipho is clearly very gifted. It is refreshing to listen to him. Is he not called professor at Howard University? Dr. Mahuna, making sure imfanelo zakho.
I am called professor.
Oh, correct.
Let me tell you. First, thanks to him and thanks to Wukajen for their sentiments. In America, if you're a lecturer, you are a professor for some reason. And I said to them, please do not call me professor. Ngoba I don't want to be in trouble in South Africa. When did you achieve this tenure thing to become professor? But that's how they call it. It's just, you are just a professor. But all I know is that I've got a PhD at least.
Okay.
But I'm not going to come home basing it in learning business or professor's toy.
Technically, you could demand it because you are a professor.
You do get professorship at a point in time. That's what I'm working on, but you must publish. You must have published and you must have maintained a certain number of classes and research. So at least I'm already published. As you know, I did that seminal book on Wamai Mai.
Yes.
And other things. The reason why I came here is because I want to attain that professorship, but it has to be done right.
And that's going to be, I remember reading an article that says you would be in the US teaching or lecturing for 7 years. Is that still the case?
That's exactly what it is. Let me tell you. I ran away from retirement in South Africa. So when I started doing my PhD, I could see what in 2027, in April, I will be 65. And the moment I'm 65, I am rendered unemployable in the country because I'm now going to be retired. And the only way I could do that was to get into academia so that I run away from retirement as fast as I can. Mm-hmm. And in America, there's no retirement age. Whether I would still be at Howard after 7 years, that's another story. My intention was always to go to Ho Chi Minh City University in Vietnam, in their School of Social Sciences. And people asked me why. I said, I don't know. That's why I want to go.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll be there. All it means is that I'm now going to be, that's what I used to tell my wife 5 years ago. I said, do your master's now so that when I go abroad, you can do your PhD, because I'm going to be a roving professor, basically.
Yeah.
But I will always be home. I will be there end of May until August every year. So.
Yes.
Okay. So I have to be home.
Yes. A final message from Nokwazi, who says, what a beautiful opportunity to be afforded this history lesson. As someone who was in a lift club with Tandiswa, I believe the trip Ekaya was instrumental in producing the Tandiswa that we now know. We thank Dr. Sithole for his foresight and vision. Sabalaza is a truly timeless album.
Thank you so much. I have really enjoyed this. It's a pity I won't hear the Ray period discussion because I have to sleep.
It's very late for you, but we will podcast it. We'll podcast the conversation. Jobe, thank you so much for your time. Thank you for staying up to speak to us. Thank you for being so generous with your knowledge. We appreciate it.
Hey, with my Nkuluma, I mean, I wouldn't end with a ways in Yan, anything I paid.
Thankfully, we're a talk station, so it's fine.
Thank you. Okay, thanks.
Thank you so much. That's how we wrap up our profile interview this morning, speaking to legendary music composer, record exec, communications expert, lecturer of world languages and cultures at Howard University in Washington, D.C., Dr. Sipho Sithole, joining us this morning.